You're listening to a podcast from 702.
At this time, as you know, we look at the major political stories you need to pay some attention to. And it's my pleasure to tell you we're joined now by the EFF's national chairperson, Advocate Dali Mpofu. A very good morning to you. I suppose we're going to have a look back on this election, this past election, and the outcome for your party in particular. Good morning.
Good morning, Mangani. Yes, thank you very much.
Listen, 1.8 million votes. You now have 44 MPs. You're the official opposition in three provinces. You've grown by nearly 5 percentage points. You are the success story of this election.
Oh, no, certainly. As I was saying, if you look at the performance in its true perspective, then it's nothing short of a miracle because everything was against us. Competing against two giant parties that have massive voter base, that have resources, with a media that was intoxicated with so-called Ramaphoria, and yet to get these gains in each and every province shows steady growth because it's not a fluke. I mean, if it was in one or two provinces, it's clear that the message is very clear from the electorate that they are giving us a serious consideration and are happy with what we've done in the first 5 years of our existence in Parliament. Yeah.
There is an analysis that says your success is indicative of how polarized we are as a society. You did well, but so did the Freedom Front Plus. And it's a delicious irony in some ways that it was probably for the same reason. What's your response to that?
No, I think that's wrong analysis, but there's clearly a correlation in the sense that I think for the first time the black voice is being heard. The real issues are being raised, such as land, without which you can never achieve inequality. And if the reaction to that is that certain people then go back to the apartheid lager, then maybe you're right. Then it's a reflection. If it's a reflection, it's a mirror, a reflection of if people then revert back to racist attitude and, in reaction to what is a simple call for equality, then it's good that we know. Because if we're deceiving ourselves, thinking we're a rainbow nation and, singing Kumbaya, when in reality that is not the case, then it's a good thing that we are now able to reflect the realities of our society.
Part of your statement yesterday suggested that Cyril Ramaphosa performed worse than Jacob Zuma, and people will say that's a little disingenuous. Surely, to the extent that you can ascribe the ANC's performance to any individual, it is Jacob Zuma.
No, that can't be. The reality, numbers don't lie, as they say. The reality is that Jacob Zuma has achieved 62% even after the Nkandla scandal. And the media was leading us to believe that there was now a new messiah. And he has, his dubious honor is that he has taken the ANC to the 50s, an area that they've never tasted. And it's a clear sign that, 50.19 in
sure, captain, but people would say that's because of the legacy of Jacob Zuma, not because of Cyril Ramaphosa. As Mbalula pointed out, it could have been worse if Cyril was not the president.
No, of course it could have been worse, but it doesn't mean it's not bad. Worse means, better, as it were. Yeah, so it's already bad. So the reality is that he is probably not even going to be able to finish his term, and he will go down as the person who actually buried the ANC. I don't see how you can say it was the legacy of Jacob Zuma, because he has been in charge for 15 months, and the economy is in a worse-off position. Unemployment is rising, the GDP growth is at its slowest. We experienced the worst load shedding we've ever seen. you know.
Yeah, all of those things you could say they're a legacy of the 10 years of the Zuma presidency. But let's move on. Talk to me.
Ramaphosa was the deputy president of Bongani.
During all of that time.
To forget this, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So it's a legacy of Jacob Zuma and Cyril Ramaphosa.
Yes.
And the people know that. They're not easily stupefied.
Right, let me move on to your plans for the 6th Parliament, along with the amendment of Section 25. You want the Reserve Bank, obviously, nationalised. And the problem is, there's no clear sense that you and the ANC want the same thing. And now that the election is over, whether they even have the appetite for some of these things.
No, we work from the premise that they don't. Remember, in 2014, when we said there'll be land expropriation, that compensation. I mean, I remember they used to laugh at all that when we had the election debates. They were poo-pooing the whole idea. But we had to use political strategies and turn them around. So that's exactly what we're going to do. Now that we're strengthened with 44 MPs and they are weakened, as you can see, we actually gained 19 seats in Parliament and the ANC lost the exact number of seats. So they know exactly what's happening. They know that if they don't respond to some of the messages that are resonating with the electorate, then they're going to carry on losing the majority. And so even for selfish and defensive purposes, they're going to have to reckon with some of our policies. Yeah.
All right. One of the conversations, of course, we've been having is around people who are implicated in wrongdoing. The VBS cloud still hangs over your deputy leader. If he were to be charged, would you call for him to step down?
Yeah, look, if we were to be charged, we would, but I don't understand how on earth that could even ever happen, because all that has happened is a hype around his brother who is implicated, and even that implication is not clear. And I don't hear anybody saying, here on the other side we have the president whose own campaign, not his brother, his own campaign was sponsored by Busafa, and I don't hear anybody saying
sure.
You must step down. Yeah.
Sure, but in the unlikely event...
The duplicity that we have to face, that's why I'm saying yeah. Our success must be seen in its true perspective.
But in the unlikely event, let's call it unlikely as you say, if he were to be charged, you'd certainly call for him to step down. That's what you're saying.
You know, of course. I mean, one of our key pillars of our existence, if you look at our 7 pillars, is a corrupt-free government. So if anybody, whether it's me or the president or the deputy president, can be caught on the wrong side of that, then clearly, firstly, they would not even have just transgressed the laws of the country, but the laws of the EFF.
Okay, we'll leave it there with the EFF's national chairperson, Advocate Dali Mpofu, who's not returning to Parliament, by the way, and I imagine a lot of his supporters will miss him.